You know, one of the best parts of that song is what Jess said earlier. It's not what we typically think of as a worship song, where we're declaring this character of God. Instead, we're simply praying over one another through this music, that this music becomes our prayer as a congregation, right? And we're praying it over our families, over our children, over the person sitting next to us, the person in the back of the room, and we're praying it over generations, for 1,000 generations, this unfolding story of our family. That as we saw families, including mine, starting out with children, and then as we prayed for our graduates, but also there's the unfolding story of each of our families in this room. And the everyday doesn't feel so amazing and glamorous, but we look at these moments where God has seen us through, and there's so much testimony, that so much story to say God has carried me from point A to point B. He's carried my family through generations. In my family, we have this generational story of my grandmother and her growing up in Ecuador and then moving to the U.S. and then meeting my grandfather, and they end up stationed out in Germany for 5 years, 3 years, some years. I'm looking at my mom. And come back. They have this story that we get to live into and how God saw my grandmother through all these changes in her life. And you all have similar stories, I expect, or you're the first to start that story in your family. But if you're unfamiliar with the story of Scripture, it's really the story of one family over these generations and God's continuing care and love for that family. It's this family that starts with a man named Abraham and his son and his son's sons, and how that becomes the nation of Israel. And through this nation, how one person named Jesus came to redeem the entirety of all things. But that's the story of Scripture. But if you read it, it's less glamorous than all that in the in-betweens. There's moments when this family is wealthy and doing well, and there's moments where this family is at war with itself. There's moments where this family is living in tents, and moments when this family is the greatest economic power in the Middle East at the time. Their story unfolds to these chapters of Scripture, and it's this great epic story of how God saw them through generations, even in the midst of their unfaithfulness to Him. And so today, as we're starting a summer series, we're engaging with the book of Joshua, which is one of these giant transition moments in the story of Israel. They're transitioning from being a wandering tribe in the wilderness, having been disobedient to God and sort of exiled, held in waiting for 40 years, to becoming an established nation with a home, with a land, with a people group. And all of us in our lives will face these transitions. As we look at the story of our family unfolding, we see that we have moments that we can say, that was a transition, whether or not I knew it, or that changed my life, whether it was going from renting to buying a home, or if it was retiring, or facing joblessness from an unexpected job loss, or maybe becoming empty nesters, or adding a child, or moving out of your parents' house, or maybe moving from your bedroom down into the basement. We all go through transitions. And they're all different. But regardless, we see in Scripture the story of transition and how God calls His people through it, specifically with their leader, Joshua. Now, Joshua will be our focus for the next 5 weeks, and he's kind of a superhero of sorts in my mind. You have this guy who steps into the shoes of his mentor to lead the people. Joshua was born in slavery in Egypt, which is the story of the book of Exodus, if you're reading your Bible. And he follows Moses through the wilderness and becomes Moses' right-hand man, his aide, his second in command. And Joshua perseveres through Israel's disobedience and their obedience. He's there, the only one on the mountain when the Ten Commandments are given to Moses, he and Moses and God. He comes down from the mountainside and sees the entirety of their nation worshiping an idol, a golden calf. He's there when Moses hits a rock and is told that you are disobedient to God and he no longer can enter the promised land. He's there when the people have moments of great obedience to God and moments when they're not so obedient. And at this point, he is now the leader of the nation that we're about to read about. And he has taken over leading this people. He's assumed his role. He stepped into his responsibility, or he's about to in our story. Very similar to our favorite friendly neighborhood Spider-Man as he steps into his role, as he discovers his powers from being bit by a radioactive spider. Now, bear with me. But Spider-Man and Joshua have a lot in common, okay? Spider-Man starts as a young boy figuring out how to live his life in an economically depressed family in Queens, yes, but still. And he grows up to become a knowledgeable person, leading other people. At times he's part of the Avengers. Come on, comic book fans. Spider-Man and Joshua, they fit together. So students, children with your whiteboards, we're going to talk a lot about superheroes today. And I'm going to need you on your board. You have your boards, right? Hold up your board. Let me see your board. My wife has a board. That's scary. All right, see your boards. I need you to draw your favorite superhero. You'll win points if your mom's next to you and you draw her as a secret. If not, that's okay, because there's other cool heroes out there too. But Joshua faces this major life transition coming into our story today. He has to decide whether or not he'll live into the promises of God, if he's brave enough to, if he's willing to. And our heroes in comic books, they're comparable. And the reason we love comic books or comic book stories, if you're into movies like that, is because, no, we might not have mystical powers that make us stronger than anybody else, or we can fly, or we're super fast. You might be super fast. But regardless, we don't necessarily have those powers. What's relatable is they go through everyday life struggles like us. When we look at the story of our family, we see it afterwards in history. Historically, we see these moments in our family that we say, what a moment. And we get to kind of live that in the lens of storytelling in comics. They have these great moments of battle between good and evil, just like our story in Joshua. They have great moments where they face enemies who are super in size and stronger than them, just like our story in Joshua. There's moments of spying and political intrigue, just like in Joshua. And so over the next 5 weeks, as we journey through this book, we're going to make some allusions to superheroes, because this story really unfolds kind of like a comic. There's a lot of cliffhanger moments where we have to read some more to find out what happens, and a lot of times where our heroes will make the wrong choice, and we have to bear with them through the consequences of their choices. But today we start in issue 1, in volume 1, in chapter 1 of Joshua. So you have your Bible, turn there, and that's where we're going to be camping out. Now, kids, let me see. I know I didn't give you long enough to do the perfect work of art you desired, but let me see your superheroes. Who do we got there? I can't read what it says. You got to shout it. Jesus. Well, that's okay. That's a great answer. That is a great answer. Okay. Who do we got there? Spider-Man. Good choice. Peter Parker or Miles Morales? Okay. Whatever. I'll just be nerdy with somebody else. Who do you got up front here? Captain America, good choice. Who do you have? Good choice. And I know there's more out there. I can't see them all, but I have another drawing assignment for you. Can you do another drawing for me? Okay. I need you to draw your face when you are faced with a challenge, okay? So erase what's on your board, and kids or parents who are drawing, draw your face when you're faced with a huge challenge in life, because that's what Joshua was faced with in our story. So if you have your Bibles, I give you enough time to find it now in your Bible. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. We're going to pause there for a moment. Now, Joshua is just told, you are going to lead the people. Moses' aide, he's identified as an aide, a glorified secretary. We call him the second in command, but he's kind of a secretary. You are now in charge. You're going to lead these people. The best comparison we have is when maybe Batman steps down and Robin's got to put on those boots, put on the cape. The boy wonder stepping into the Dark Knight shoes. It doesn't work out. The boy wonder is not the same guy as Batman, right? Man, both you, comic books are not landing, Paul. It's all good. They're just not landing. So we have this juxtaposition of Joshua taking charge when he's really not been the front runner. He's been the secondary guy, the sidekick. And he's told he's going to lead a conquest of a massive plot of land. Was the map already up? Can we put the map up? Now, a careful student of the scripture will quickly note, this land does not include all the boundaries God just said they would have. That's a sermon for another day about obedience and other things like that. But this is still a massive plot of land, roughly the size of New Jersey, to conquer. That's a lot of territory to lead an army through. And Joshua's told, Mr. Sidekick, step up, put on your put on your fighting shoes. You're going to lead the people. Keep drawing your faces, kids. I'm coming to you. Make them very detailed. I want to see your eyes, okay? Let's keep reading in verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, this is God talking, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He's making a point here. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, class, what's the major point in this? Oh, with gusto. Well done. You passed the quiz. Be strong and courageous. He says it 3 times in this passage. Now, there's probably a reason for that. If we want to make an assumption about Joshua's attitude here, Joshua appears to have been obedient his whole life following after God. But this is a huge life transition. He's facing a task that seems insurmountable. I think, as a careful student of human emotion, he was a little scared. This is Dad sitting you down and saying, you can do it. And so what is God repeating over and over? This concept of being strong and courageous, that you can do it, you have the capability, that this task looks scary, it's a challenge, it's going to be difficult, but be strong and courageous. You aren't doing this alone, God will be with you, so be strong and courageous. No matter what you're about to face, be strong and courageous. That's not our normal human tendency. It tends to be a little more scared or timid when we face a large task. So I'd love to see the faces, kids, students. What does your face look like when you're faced with a big challenge? I have no idea what that is. That looks like a gasping face back there, like a, did I nail that? All right, what do you have back there? Really high up, you. Scared face. Scared face, all right. That is very small. It's beautiful, I'm sure, but it's very small. What does your face look like? A little scared. I'm getting it. This side of the room, that looks like a puzzled face, maybe like a hmm. What are we? Does that sound right? What does your face over here say? Happy face. We like challenges. I like that. So we have a lot of faces. I see you waving your war back there too. We all have emotional responses when it comes to challenges. And here's God coming forward saying, your call is to be strong and courageous. Now, I want to be clear here, kids, adults, all of you, God is not asking you to go conquer your neighbor's territory. He's not asking you to go move the boundary markers. He's not asking you to go take your pitchfork out of the back and drive your neighbor off of their land. That is not what we're talking about today. But God is asking each of us every day for obedience. It can be in big tasks, like stepping out in faith, facing graduation. Or it can be the small tasks when a coworker confides in you about what's going on in their marriage or in their home, that you speak life into them, that you listen to them and comfort them. It can be big tasks like facing retirement and the unknown and excitement of retirement, but can also be the small task of staying after school with your student who really needs the extra help. It can be the big scary task of proposing maybe for you singles out there. Or it can be the small, everyday task of asking for the first date, maybe. That seems scary, but it's not as scary. There's a lot of big things and small things in our life, and regardless, we're asked to be obedient. I'm inspired by one of my favorite superheroes, Elsa from Frozen. You can't deny she's a superhero. She has ice powers. And she sings this great song in the sequel. I have a toddler. I've watched this sequel at least 100 times. And in the sequel, she declares, into the un... Oh, come on. In pitch, kids. Into the... Thank you. this great moment of saying, there is something unknown in front of me, but I need to enter into it. I'm being called out to step out into the scary, step out into the fear, step out into where I'm unsure of myself, regardless of the size of the task. And we know from the story that Elsa does do that. And your story, the question is whether or not you will step out into the unknown. Whether it is these life transitions of college or talking to your coworker about faith or raising your kids well or escaping some sort of bondage in your life like addiction or debt or something like that. We are called out into the unknown by God in an act of obedience. And what does he say to us? Be strong and... Now, a quick note. If you are facing something larger like addiction or debt or something like that, we as a church have resources to help you. We have a great ministry called Heal that has support groups like AA and Gamblers Anonymous, and it also has Financial Peace University that it runs or Spirit, I'm missing what the words I was going to say. Streams of Freedom, thank you. Streams of Freedom. There's these ministries that our Heal department provides that can help you find freedom in those areas. So if you'd like to know more, we'd love to talk with you about that. Or you can go on our website at revivewesleyan.com and hit the Heal page button. It'll fill you in on all that. Because God wants to see us step out in obedience, whether it's a small task or a big one like Joshua had to face. And God is with us regardless. It says so. We just sang it in that prayer. That God is with us, and he calls us to be strong and courageous. Now, the way God calls us to do that might be different than we think, though. You see, in this story, God's not asking Joshua to be strong and courageous by lifting more weights and taking mirror selfies at the gym. He's not asking Joshua to pull out his diploma from a prestigious university and say, look what I accomplished. He's not asking Joshua to fake it till he makes it. And yes, you're kind of scared, but just pretend you're not. It'll be fine. He is actually asking him to be strong and courageous, but the word strength here in Hebrew has a slightly different meaning than our thought of physical strength. It actually means to hold fast to something, to cling to it strongly. It's like that scene in Captain America where he's got the helicopter in this arm, and he said he knows exactly what I'm talking about. The helicopter's in this arm, he's holding on to the platform in this arm, and he's like doing a split with his arms. You're holding fast. You're not letting go. You're gripping tightly. And what are you holding on tightly to? It says this right there in verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Day and night meditate on it, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So, art project kids, I need you to draw me something that you use to find strength or courage. It might be your parents. It might be a blanket you really like or a stuffed animal or a symbol of some kind, but something that makes you feel strong and courageous when you're facing something. So draw me that picture of what that object might be. Because here in the story, Joshua is faced with this giant task. And yes, he's told to be strong and courageous, but it's not just a kick in the rear, buck up, and you can do it on your own. It's a hold fast to the word of God, cling to it, don't let go of it, know it, meditate on it. And when we hear that word meditate, I think a lot of us immediately go to like Eastern religious practices, but that's not what it means. This word pops up throughout the Old Testament. You see it in Psalm 1 and in other places, and it literally means to groan or moan over something, kind of like hunger pains, like, oh, I'm so hungry, I need to eat out of the food truck after this. Kind of like that, like my tummy's doing right now. Or maybe more so, on a flip side of that meaning, it quite literally means like a lion growling over its food. This beast of terror and strength, having brought down its kill, standing over it and growling, letting everybody know that it possesses it, that it desires its meal. That just as your belly lets you know you're hungry, this deep longing with the gurglies inside of you, and a lion growling over its food, you should desire the word of God and think about it and want it. That's what the word meditate means here. So you have this beautiful picture of be strong and courageous, meditate on the word, but it's saying hold fast to God's word. Let it be a desire within you so strong that you hunger and thirst for it, that you growl over it, that you know it, that you want it, that you seek it out in your life. That this isn't some secondary issue or third thing or if you can fit it in, but it is the thing in your life that will shape you and form you to be more like God's self. Be strong and courageous by meditating on his word. You know, the name Joshua is the same name as Jesus in two different languages. You have Hebrew, which is Yeshua, and in Greek that name becomes Jesus. And so Jesus is named after this person. He's the second and better Adam, but also the second and better Joshua. And when he comes and starts his teaching ministry in the book of Matthew, he starts with this big old hunk of scripture that takes three chapters called the Sermon on the Mount. And if you go and read that, Jesus is making allusions back to God's word. He's saying, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. He's reinterpreting the scriptures, those first five books of the Torah, the first five books that Israel would have foundationed its faith off of. And Jesus clearly knew God's word deeply and intimately in his heart, so he was able to teach it and show people how to live it in his own life. We have Joshua in the Old Testament. The only books of the Bible available to him are those five books, the early books, the law. And then we have Jesus in the New Testament, the second and better Joshua, who has clearly meditated upon the word of God, who knows it deeply and intimately in his life. This is the call of Scripture itself, is to know Scripture. Because in those pages, we meet with God. We see the story of his love for humanity, his story unfolding with that one family, through the ups and downs, through the cliffhanger moments, through the book of Judges, which is a mess, through these great moments where the prophets are declaring the goodness of God, to them calling people out, to Jesus entering the story. It all tells this story of God's unfailing love for us and calls us deeper into it. And through that story, we can find strength and courage to obey daily. When you came in the room, kids, you probably got a little baggie of Gobstoppers, maybe. Parents, please dole those out at your discretion. They're a choking hazard. But if you've ever had a Gobstopper, it's got layers to it. And each layer unfolds more flavor. And God's word is kind of like that. It's like a three-course meal, a five-course meal, a meal that doesn't end. And every time you think you're done, there's more to discover within it. Every time you think you've unlocked the secrets of this word, there is a deeper layer for you to discover. And like that lion hungry over its food, or you kids out there staring at your gobstopper salivating, there's more for you in it. In the Psalms, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And just a verse down, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. This summer, we're going to be journeying through this story of Joshua, and it'll be a flyover. We can't do a sermon on all 24 chapters. But as we do this journey, notice how much Joshua and his people rely on the law, the gift of God that he gave Moses, and now Joshua carries forward. This great story, this great tradition that they were handed, that belonged to God and he shared with humanity. And it's written down for us even today in our scriptures, not because we have to go be like Joshua and conquer some land, but because we are called to live in obedience just as Joshua and his people were. That we are called to see what God has called us to and step out and do it. As Elsa says, into the unknown. It's scary. We don't always know what the outcome will be, but obedience is the right place to be. Joshua knew that because God told him to be strong and courageous, to meditate on his word. And if you read on, Joshua then leads the people very quickly into their first task, into their second task, their third, their fourth, and the story unfolds. But the question is posed to us in our life, will we do the same? Will we meditate on the word of God and be obedient? Will we live into that promise? So kids around the room, I know I asked you to draw an object that gives you courage. What is that object? Let me see. Allison, do you have an object? I haven't called on you yet. She's drawing dinosaurs. Okay, our family. Our family in the midst of dinosaurs. It's probably a mauling moment. What is your image right there? The Bible. She was listening. A lacrosse what? Wrestling shoes. Oh, yes. Definitely gives you strength. What do we have up there? Is that saying your mom? That's a good answer. That is a great answer. I'm sorry, what was yours? Your stuffed animal. Let's go. And the blanket that comes with it. So the stuffed animal and the blanket together. Right over here. What's yours? The cross. I like the cross. I'm pointing way up here. Your blanket. You see, we all find sources of comfort and strength in different places. But my hope, as we heard from some of you, is that you'd find your strength in the Word of God. That you'd find your comfort, your hope, your courage in God's Word. I see you're holding up your stuffed animal right there. That's awesome. I have three questions kind of to end today. And they're all really easy. If you haven't caught on, this sermon is not rocket science. It's read your Bible. But the thing is, we have an epidemic in the church. We like to point fingers, well, that denomination doesn't do this, that. We have a story right now unfolding where we don't read our Bibles. We don't know what's in the pages of it. And I want to invite you to actually engage with the Word of God. It's one of our values as a church, that we would value Scripture above everything. And I want to invite you, number one, to get a Bible. Do you have a Bible? I made this statement in first service. I make it again. If you don't have a Bible, grab the one out of the pew in front of you. We'll find a way to replace it. Get the Word of God in your hands. If you're younger and you don't want to grab the NIV, Pastor Allison's up front here. We have some great recommendations for you that are more child appropriate or maybe have a better spin on it for kids. They're all translations anyways. So we're doing our best. But get a Bible in your hands. My second question is, do you actually read it? Does it live on the shelf and collect dust, or is it something that you engage with and read daily, that you read often, that the pages get worn out because you spent time in it? If you don't know where to start with reading it, that's why we provide a reading plan with every series. We want you to follow along and discover the story that we're talking about in greater detail than we can even do in a half hour on Sunday morning. Or maybe you engage with the Bible Project online or the Bible app and use one of their resources. They have great reading plans available for you. But actually read it. It's great if you read it. It's great if you have a Bible. But finally, do you obey it even when it's hard? Are you defining what it is to be strong and courageous, or is God defining what it is to be strong and courageous? Are you deciding how you will live, or are you allowing the Word of God to shape your view of the entire world? It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to have a Bible. It's another thing to obey it. So our invitation, as Joshua enters the promised land, before he steps foot, before he conquers anything, before he leads a military victory in this story, God says, meditate on his word. And that's our call to you today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This was God's call to Joshua, and it's our call to you today. Be strong and courageous. Hold fast to the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night, and let it transform who you are. Kids, you should have a bracelet that came in your bag, maybe. We might have run out. But they say Joshua 1:9 on them. That's the verse I just quoted. Our challenge is for you to memorize that verse, Joshua 1:9. Come back, tell Pastor Allison next week, I don't know. I'll say she'll have a prize for you. And now she does. There's leftover Gobstoppers. So, but memorize that verse this week. And parents, do it with them. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you've given us your word to know you by, to learn who you are, that we may live differently because we've met with you and been transformed by your presence, by your spirit that we've met. May we not let our Bibles collect dust. May we not forget about them in some forgotten drawer. But may they live prominently in our lives. May they be something we return to again and again, discovering the riches that are in it, discovering the depth of who you are, discovering the ways in which you desire us to live. And as we're faced with fear and transition and the questions of tomorrow, the unknown ahead of us, may we be strong and courageous. because we have meditated on your word. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you all stand as we declare this truth through a song and an act of worship?